Our Heavenly Father, we submit to you, to your will in our lives, as Jesus did. And we pray that you feed us from your word to help us grow spiritually, to be stronger, so we can face the challenges in life and glorify your name. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Matthew 26, verse 36 to 45, NLT. Then Jesus brought them to an olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, "Sit here while I go on ahead to pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he began to be filled with anguish and deep distress. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me." He went on a little farther and fell face down on the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will, not mine." Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you stay awake and watch with me even 1 hour? Keep alert and pray, otherwise temptation will overpower you. For though the spirit is willing enough, the body is weak." Again he left them and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away until I drink it, your will be done." He returned to them again and found them sleeping, for they just couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went back to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to the disciples and said, "Still sleeping? Still resting? Look, the time has come. I, the Son of Man, am betrayed into the hands of sinners." This time in Jesus' life was described in Hebrews 5, verse 7-9. While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's Son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. That's you and me. Remember, Jesus was 100% human and 100% God. The God side of him knew that sacrifice needed to be made, and he willingly offered himself up. The human side of him shrank back from the incredible physical suffering and the incredible emotional and spiritual suffering from carrying the sins of the world and facing the wrath of God, to satisfy the justice of a loving God that wants nobody to be lost, that he wants everyone to be saved. That's in 2 Peter 3 verse 9. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. There was a time when the devil tempted Jesus to take the easy way out, in Matthew 4, verse 8 to 11. "Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. 'I will give it all to you,' he said, 'if you will kneel down and worship me.' 'Get out of here, Satan,' Jesus told him, 'for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus." Now, we all know that the devil is the father of lies, so I'm quite sure he didn't mean what he said when he said he'd give it all to Jesus. So, yeah, it's a good thing Jesus didn't fall for that temptation. Another time, Peter was adamant that Jesus shouldn't die, in Matthew 16, 21-23. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hand of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said, "this will never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." So Peter was being used by Satan in that instance to tempt Jesus to turn away from the cross. Now you'd think that the death of Jesus would be something Satan wants. However, it might have been just a knee-jerk reaction. If Jesus wants it, go against it. There is a place in Scripture that said if the principalities, that was Satan and his demons, understood the implications of the cross, they would never have crucified the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 8, but the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. So it might have been that if Satan thought, well, if Jesus wants to do it, then I don't want him to do it, so let's tempt him not to. So that's what he prompted Peter to say. It does not mean that Peter was Satan at that time. It just means that Satan can use anybody, even you and me, to tempt other people. So please be careful what you say, and also don't be devastated if someone that you think is an amazing Christian says something that you know is against what God has said to you. Earlier the disciples had been saying that they would die for Jesus and all those things, all the brave statements that they made. Even when Jesus wanted to go to Jerusalem, Thomas said, let's go to Jerusalem that we may die with him. So, yeah, instead of calling him Doubting Thomas, we can call him Brave Thomas. But a lot of instances, the disciples said, Lord, we won't turn away from you. We'll follow you to death and all this kind of thing. And yet, when the crunch came, they all scattered, and the disciple that where Jesus said, upon this revelation, I will build my church, and that revelation that was given about Jesus being the Messiah, that Peter was the one that denied him. But he repented and came back to Jesus, and the three times that Peter denied him, that's how many times Jesus asked him, Peter, or Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? That was after the resurrection, when they were having fish fry on the beach. When Jesus asked him to pray for an hour while he was praying, he wasn't only asking them to pray for him, he was asking them to pray for themselves, because he knew what they would be facing. He knew that they would scatter and that Peter would deny him. And this is why in John 21 verse 15, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Some translations say son of Jonah, some say son of John. It's just the Hebrew names that are being translated to the equivalent names in English, so not to worry there. In John 21, verse 1 to 17, there's the whole episode of Jesus appearing to them when they were going fishing, and they fished all night and caught nothing, and then he said, go and cast your net on the other side, and they brought a whole lot of fish, and then they realized it was Jesus. And then they had fish fry for breakfast on the beach. That's when Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonah, or son of John, whichever version, do you love me more than these? And then he said, do you love me? And again, do you love me? And the love word in English translates from the specific words in Greek. And as far as I can remember, the love that Jesus asked was agape love, that's the sacrificial love. The love that Simon Peter answered was the phileo love, that's the friendship love. But in the end, he said, you know that I love you. And then he said, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. And that's when Jesus restored Peter for the three times that he would deny him. Which was one of the temptations that Peter faced after this time when he was supposed to be praying not only for Jesus but for himself. The final encouragement, Galatians 6, verse 9 to 10. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. So I encourage you to watch and pray as Jesus advised Peter, James, and John. Watch and pray and shine your light.